Friday night in the city. What do you think everybody else is doing right now? Yes. Yes. Here you are. Here you are. Out of the millions of people in this city, in the heart of hearts of all things, this is what you chose to do with your time today. This is incredible. So that has something to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. I just wanted to let you guys know how encouraged my wife Shayla and myself, just how encouraged we are to be amongst you guys right now. And if this is just a snippet of what it's going to be like, bro.
Can we come to the tree? Can we?
Yeah. So let me introduce myself. My name is Naho. I'm Kenson Desir, and this is my wife.
Shayla
Desir. And as Rob said, I am a native Brooklyn.
Always.
It's interesting because, you know, I was not converted here in New York. Real quick, you know, I was living in Brooklyn during 80s, 90s, crack epidemic, drug infested neighborhoods. It was crazy. And, you know, a situation happened with one of my relatives, and my mom felt like, you know, if we don't get out of here, that the retaliation would come back on me because I was the next one in line. And so my mom, you know, grabbed us, me and my sister, and she moved us down the floor. That's when my mom and my dad split, and so my dad did not move with us. And so for the next 5 years, you know, I just been living my life. I did not grow up religious. I went to private school for maybe 3 years. I went to a Catholic school, and that was it. So I knew God existed, but that is as far as it went. There was no relationship. There was no, I wasn't looking for God in my life. I was just doing what I do. In high school, my senior year, my best friend, one of my best friends got baptized. And I went into my senior year thinking, okay, well, there's only one thing I'm gonna do, and it wasn't graduate. My whole, let me just be completely honest here. My summer was spent, I worked two jobs that summer. This was, you know, going into my senior year. Two jobs. I was working for a spa where I was just like wiping down machines after they work out. I was working as a laborer for a construction company. So I was making like maybe $600 a week cash, right? And so I was saving my money, and this was my intent. I'm gonna be 100% real with you. I'm gonna fix up my car, right? I'm putting new stereo system, got a new paint job. I'm changing my wardrobe. Everything is thrown out. I'm getting a whole new wardrobe because my goal for my senior year was to sleep with as many girls I can before I graduate. That was my goal. Going into my senior year, the first week of that year when school started, that's when I was reached out to. And I tell you, my life has changed forever. This is gonna be year, 28 for me?
Yeah.
28 for me. 28 years, converted as a teenager in high school. Tell you that I've been to the teen ministry, campus, a minute in the singles ministry, and in marriage, and I tell you, for all the bumps and all the bruises and all the victories, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So what you guys have here now, don't waste it. Don't waste it.
So I just want to share right quick. So Kenson and I were in the same team ministry, so I literally remember his baptism. We were all together in a circle. I remember I was on this side, and Kenson was on that side of the circle at our team worker's house. And Kenson and I, we did not get along. Because he came into the team ministry, you know, he's from Brooklyn. Okay?
That's right. That's
you guys
right.
have like his Brooklyn Boros swag.
I have my Tim's on.
And in my end, I'm like, bro, didn't like each other at all, but God knew what he was doing. Our family just moved here 7 months ago from Georgia. And we serve in a ministry, like Chelsea said, in Westchester. And really honestly, you guys, as Kinston's pulling up his lesson, watching you guys, I mean, my faith was solidified already, but it just reminded me, there is no boardroom that I could sit in that would give me what I have tonight. None. And I'm so thankful for you guys. I feel like I've already gotten so much more. So we'll go ahead and dig into the lesson, because I know I heard you guys only gave us 2 hours for the lesson. So, we won't be as long as Rob,
Yes, I do. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about being salt and light. Because for Shayla and I, we've been disciples for 27, 28 years, and I can tell you that without even hesitating, that being a salt and being light in this dark world is a necessity. It's not even an option. It's not a, well, let me think about it. No, God has called me to be the salt and light in this world. And tonight, what I'm hoping is that if you walked in this room, and you probably already made a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, and I'm gonna even say, with the benefit of the doubt, that you are on fire for God. But let's say you're not. Let's say you walked in through those doors with doubt, with questions, with people saying this about you. You probably walked in here with a label, and you know what that label is. Perhaps that's how you walked in this room. Perhaps some of you have not yet made Jesus Lord of your life yet. Perhaps you've walked through this door questioning, doubting, or wondering, what is truth? What is the purpose for my life? Why am I here? Not just because somebody invited me, but really, why am I here? My hope and our hope is that you would leave here convinced one or two things. That you are salt and light of this earth, if you are a disciple. And if you're not a disciple, that you will leave here with a desire to become light and salt of this earth.
Amen.
Because this dark world, when you leave here, this dark world needs light. It needs it. It's not even a question of it should it have it or not. This dark world needs light. So we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna jump into Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through, I believe, 16. Now, just to give you quick context, Jesus was talking, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Now, for a lot of people may think, well, this was for, those who gathered there. But Jesus was really talking to his disciples. Like, he was looking to get away from the crowd so that he can talk to his disciples. But you know how things are. Even though he snuck away and went to the corner, there's always going to be somebody like, yo, where they going? Wait, what's going on over there? So it is very likely that his disciples were there, those who were curious and probably not, maybe they were skeptical about who Jesus was, and maybe they just wanted to see what was happening. So you had a mixed crowd there, just like tonight. It's a mixed crowd. Some of us are on fire. Some of us maybe, a little bit of sizzle, a little bit of steam. Some of us maybe need some encouragement. But the same word is being given to you tonight. And so you have to decide what you're going to do with the word that you hear tonight.
Right?
So let's pick up in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16, and then we'll break it down. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But the salt loses its saltiness. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on their feet. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
Amen.
And so my first point is that you are the salt of the earth. You are a salt of the earth, not because you feel like you're the salt of the earth, not because the person that studied the Bible with you told you you're the salt of the earth. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth."
Yep.
That has to be enough. That has to be the thing you anchor yourself to. What did Jesus say about me? So without any other questions or any other feelings that you may have about how you see yourself or what other people may tell you, Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." Jesus was very intentional about what he was saying, because he understood that with his disciples, he knew that there was going to be a point that he would have to leave. And so the things he said, the time he spent with them, was very intentional. Just like tonight, this time that you're having here is very intentional. It's designed to inspire you. It's designed to give you hope. It's designed to strengthen you. It's designed to call you out from. Because you've been in this world, living in this world, but you're not of it. You're the salt of the earth. This is what Jesus said. Now, we hear a lot of statements, don't we?
Yeah.
College students, different colleges represent. I mean, how many different colleges do we have represented in this room?
Let's go on, Claire.
I mean, I'm sure too many somebody said. And in your circles, I'm sure at some point in your life, or even in this school year for you, you've heard things like, "You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not tall enough. You're not black enough. You're not strong enough. You're not man enough." And other things like that. You hear these words over and over, and sometimes it can compete with what Jesus said about you.
Yeah.
Remember, this is a dark world. So it can only give you dark things.
Yeah, good point.
It only can give you dark things. And so you have to anchor yourself on what Jesus has said.
Yeah. So I love this, you know, when we're looking at the scripture, the "you are." You know, I can imagine just Jesus looking at the crowd and not looking at them like the world sees them. You know, when I was thinking about this and I was telling Kenson, sometimes it's not even the words that the world is saying, trying to define me of who I am. Sometimes it's how I define myself.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, right? It's, am I knowledgeable enough? Am I too young? Am I equipped? Am I chosen? Am I called? Like, I don't need, like, the world has this thing, but I feel like sometimes I do it enough for myself, you know, and just have to remember, you are. He looked at this crowd and he looked at you and he said, "You are. You are." Not what you think you are, but who Jesus says you are. There's so many scriptures that talk about you are chosen. You are called. You are royal priesthood. You are holy nation. And if we just meditate on who does Jesus say we are, shut all the other noise away. Shut our own voices away. Hold on to who he says we are.
And so, if this is what Jesus says you are, that means this earth needs you.
Yep.
Right. Wow.
This dark world needs you.
Yeah.
You're the one. Not them. Not them. You. Each and every one of you is needed in this world. This fallen world needs your influence.
Yeah.
Everywhere we look, we can just walk right down the street and there's so many other things influencing what's happening. I mean, there's billboards for everything.
Yeah.
There's a billboard for the billboard, right? Everything is out there to influence. That's the goal, to sway others in one direction or another. But you're the salt that this earth needs, each and every one of you. This city has 8.4 million people, according to a census that was done in 2021. 8.4 million people need your salt. This is the charge. This is the calling that Christ has given us. And so when we talk about salt, right? Talk about what's the value?
I brought a prop.
You gotta have props, why not? Right? The value of salt. Now in the ancient world, economies were based on salt production. Right? There was a point where wars were started to control salt. Whoever had control of salt in that time period was king. This was the value of salt. Before refrigeration, I'm sure some of you science majors, you already know where I'm going with this, right? Salt preserves, right? Allows meat that can't, there's no refrigerator back then. So the salt was what preserved the meat, kept it fresh, kept it from bacteria, so it wouldn't be food poison. Now, we also know salt puts a little flavor into your food.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Little jerk in a jerk chicken. Can't have jerk chicken, ain't no jerk. That's something else. Right? You need that flavor. This is who you are. Your lives is salt, it's seasoning, it's life preserving. It's not born, it's got some flair. Look, they got blue lights. They got blue lights. There's flair.
Yeah.
There's season. Believe me, the world is a sham. The real world, not this physical stuff. When we talk about the light, well, I'm not gonna cheat. I'm not gonna go there. Right now I'm gonna stay on salt. Right?
Yeah, I love that. But you know how sometimes, right, if this is who Jesus says that you are, like you are that salt. And so it's like sometimes I'd be like walk with our head down, I am. I'm going like all that in a bag of chips. Do you guys even say that anymore? Right? But it is like walking with like that swag, like I am like no, you need me. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You need to go on campus and be like,
yeah.
I'm here, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Right.
For Jesus.
But it's like walking, you know, with your head high. Like, no, I'm not gonna bow down to nothing. I am his. He says who I am. I know who I belong to. So I'm gonna walk on campus.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be confident. Because you don't know who I belong to?
Yeah.
You don't know I'm soft?
like, that is that confidence, not from anything else, but from who God says that right. who we are. You are the salt. You are the flavor. Oh, like, you're the flavor.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you one thing, right? Being married to my wife, we ain't never had no bland food. So I was thinking about, and I told you the story how I, you know, got converted. And my senior year in high school, I told you what my goal was, right? So that was old Kinson, right? New Kinson in Christ.
Meshay.
Started. No, before all that. We started out the school year with three disciples in my high school. It was me, the brother that baptized me, and the brother that baptized him. Right? And so it was three of us. Within a month, we baptized another kid. Wow. And then another kid. And by the time we ended the school year, by the time we graduated, we had a little over 40 teens in our high school baptized.
Wow.
Our teen ministry at its peak was a little over 120.
Yep.
120 baptized teens. All baptized.
Yeah, parents weren't Christians.
None of my parents were Christians. We all met at the mall,
bus stop.
We were met in school, whatever, at the park, and we were studying the Bible with people. Wow. So when Shayla was talking about, I remember having that attitude like, yeah, this is my school. Yeah, I'm the salt. Y'all need me. Y'all need this truth that I'm trying to give you. Y'all need this, right? And so I want to share that. I want to emphasize this. Don't doubt what Jesus already told you.
Yeah, right. Come on.
He told you you're the salt. Yeah. Now you got to walk like it.
Yeah.
Now you got to walk like you're the salt. Now, you know, again, I come back to the scripture that you are the salt of the earth. I think I drilled that point down, didn't I?
Yes.
Right, so there's no more question, well, maybe I'm more like paprika. No, you are the salt. You are the salt. Now, again, with the salt comes some warnings though, right? Because the scripture also talks about, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So, again, we talked about the value of salt, but guess what? That salt can lose its saltiness. In the ancient world, you know, salt came from evaporated seawater or was collected in these, like, you know, collecting pans. And now the salt, depending on the pan, would also pick up different minerals, which now contaminated the pure salt. So over time, that salt will still look like salt, but it would lose its saltiness. It is now worthless. It is now being thrown out. So for those of us who have made the decision at one point or another to make Jesus Lord of your life, you have to watch out that you don't lose your saltiness.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out. It's your responsibility to make sure that you don't lose your saltiness. You have spiritual people around you. God has blessed you to be a part of an incredible campus ministry with incredible leaders and incredible singers and instruments and blue lights.
You gotta get blue lights at Westchester.
But it's your responsibility that you don't lose your saltiness. Don't mix your salt with other things. Again, this dark world is designed to influence and draw people away. Don't allow that world to mix with your salt. In my cabinet, the salt is in a bottle like this. It's not, I don't have paprika, pepper, tamarind.
We're not making a seasoning.
Nutmeg, no. This is not an allspice. It's not an allspice. This is salt.
Yeah.
When I go in my cabinet, I want salt, I grab salt. When I walk into a room like this, I shouldn't be grabbing allspice in here. It should be salt, 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 salt. Not talking about perfection. I am not talking about perfection. But don't lose your saltiness because you're mixing it with stuff outside.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Stay grounded. Stay grounded to the source. Jesus is our Lord and perfecter of our faith.
Come on.
Stay connected to Christ. In John, I believe, 15, it talks about staying connected to the vine.
Yes.
Stay connected to the vine. Don't allow yourself to be detached.
Yeah.
I say the same in Westchester. There's no such thing as an island disciple. And I'm not talking about Jamaica. No such thing as a disciple being to himself or herself. You belong to a body of believers. You belong to each other. No such thing as I'm gonna just do it on my own. I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I got it. No, that is not what Jesus taught. If you live like that, you will find yourself tasting like nothing. Eventually. Confessing your sins. Get that junk out of there. Don't hold it. You ever seen salt that has like water and liquid and stuff in there and you just leave it in there? What happens? It just becomes worthless.
Yeah.
Same for your heart. If you're not getting that sin out, if you're not talking about it, if you're not dealing with it, you're gonna be worthless. There's not gonna be no more salt left. You might look like salt, but there's nothing salty about you. There's nothing salty about you. Resolve conflicts with one another. These are ways you stay salty. And I'm not talking about bad attitudes. This is how you stay salty, right? You know the teachings that Jesus have left. Put it into practice. Don't let it become a great idea or motivational speech. Get it powered by applying it to your life. That's where the power comes from God's words, when you apply it. These are some of the things you can do to stay salty.
So it's crazy. So our daughter's in college, and I was telling her, and she helped me with my fit. She told me to wear white sneakers. So
you should have rocked the black Air Forces.
You should have. You should have talked to Caleb. But she is she's an engineering major. She was talking. She told me. She was talking about her chemistry class. You know, and I was meditating on the scripture, and I had the salt in front of me when she FaceTimed me. And I was like, hey, well, I have a question. You're in chemistry, you're a science STEM girl. I said, how can this salt lose its saltiness? Is it even possible? And she says, dilute.
Right, point.
If you put it in enough water,
wow,
you can no longer taste the salt. You know, so I hung on the FaceTime with her and I was meditating and I was like, man, you know, here we are. The salt of the earth, and we walk on campus or live our lives, and all these things start coming and we get diluted. The word in our heart gets diluted. The confession that we made for those who got baptized and said Jesus is Lord gets diluted. Those who are studying the Bible, one foot in, one foot out, you get diluted. This is who we're supposed to be. If we let the world and everything else, and we start compromising, and we start letting it kind of start penetrating us, there's no salt. It's just, it's no good anymore.
Right.
Out.
Right?
That's a good point.
And so this is the thing we have to remember. I know sometimes for those who have been raised in the church, right? We hear it all the time. And it just, it's like a resounding gong, right? Like you just hear it. But at some point, you gotta make a decision. At some point, you have to be like, man, I don't wanna just be bland water. I want to be salty again. So these things that Kenson was talking about, getting in your scriptures, being part of a community, getting rid of sin that's in your heart, dealing with whatever conflict, do whatever you gotta do to make it salty again.
Yep. So that's salt. That is salt. Now we're gonna move on to light. Matthew 5, verses 14, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Not just City Campus, not just Jersey, Montclair, and other colleges I've heard, of this world.
Yeah.
Everywhere you step, if you go into the bathroom, you the light. You the light. You step into a cave, you the light. You step into a conflict, you're the light. You step into a home where it's broken. I came up in a broken home, seen some bad things. If I was a disciple at that time, as I walk into that situation, I'm the light. That means I gotta respond as such.
That's right.
The only time the light is not lighted is when it's broke. Mm-hmm. And when you turn that light switch on, it is on until there is no more power left.
Right.
For me, that's until Jesus come back or my lifespan has come to an end. That's my goal, to be the light as long this body allows me to.
Yeah.
But this is what Jesus says. The fact that the world needs light tells me one thing. It's a dark world.
Yeah, right.
If the world was light, it wouldn't need light. I never try to find, you ever try to find a remote control under a couch? And it's, if you can't see nothing, what do? You get your little phone and you say, need light. Need light. The world is dark, so it needs light.
Yeah.
It needs light. The path needs light because you can't see it. Right now, we see physical everything. We see the blue lights. Right? You know, I'm gonna plug that blue light as much as I can. We see these things. But spiritually speaking, Jesus is saying, this world is dark. When you remove the layers and you remove the mask, it's a dark place. And so it needs light. It needs light. How could this be done? How is this light supposed to shine in a dark place? I'm gonna read this. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus tells us that the way that we allow this light to be seen in this world is by our good deeds. Now, we can do good deeds with wrong motives.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus is talking about, because he clearly says,
right.
He says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
That means the service that you provide, the things that you do, supposed to produce praises to God, not to you. You might get a thank you for showing the way, but the praise go to Him. So if that's your motivation, then that's the light that's supposed to be seen in this world.
Yeah.
That's the light that He's talking about. So how? How can you do these things? I look in this room and I see a lot of leaders.
Yep. Oh my goodness.
I see what can become. Not what you are now, although you're awesome, you're salt and light, that's great. But what can become of you is what I see.
Yeah.
Right.
So for you to let your light shine, you gotta lead by example.
All right.
Not just talk, by your actions, by the way you lead, whether it's silent examples, whether it's taking initiative on certain things. I'm sure leading a group this size requires a lot of work. There should be plenty of volunteers in this room. Raising their hand, what can I do? What can I do to serve? What can I do to clean up? What can I do to help meet a need? That's the kind of light this world needs. Because what the world will say is, do it for pay. Do it for a reason that only gives you the praise. You're in college. It's all about competition. It's all about grades to get that A, to get that job, to get that thing, to get. But you're called to be a light so that God can get the praise.
Yeah, you know, just to add, when I was interested in trying to figure out what is religion? I didn't grow up religious. And I remember going to this other place with one of my friends, because she professed to be a Christian. And I was like, okay. So I went and I was studying, but then I saw her life at school. It didn't look any different from mine, and I know I wasn't a Christian.
All right.
And so what turned me away, and what turns a lot of people away, are those that say they are the light, but they're nothing but salt. Well, they're nothing but pepper, right?
Paprika.
Paprika. But lead by example. We say Jesus is Lord. We're not acting like we have to be perfect, right? But people have to see real Christianity, that your life has to lead. Your life has to be that example.
Yep. So I don't know if you guys like acronyms, so I gave y'all some acronyms. So we got lead by example. I invest in relationships. Now, again, God has given us the gift of fellowship. We have brothers and sisters along with us on this journey. Invest in them.
Yeah.
Invest in the relationships in this room. Don't take it for granted, because the ones you help today may be the ones that's helping you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? So it's important. You want to invest in those relationships. And those relationships can also have an impact outside of this group. So it's not enough to just be able to be in a relationship with each other, but don't forget we have a dark world out there that needs examples and need light and need people who are sincere about their faith. And they need to see it. And the only way they're going to see it is having a relationship with you. So you could be that example, right? Guide others and seek guidance. Again, you are future leaders. Some of you are already leading in certain ways, but many more can lead. But you also need to be guided. There's a level of humility that is necessary to be a light. Jesus, who was the master of all things, got on his knees and washed people's feet. You're not too good to wash people's feet.
All
right. Right? So there's got to be a level of humility as you're guiding others and you're seeking to be guided. I'm kind of blocking here, but H, help those in need. Again, thinking about this world, there are so many needs. Sometimes it seemed overwhelming, like there's no way we can do all that. It's not for you to worry about that. God has the master plan. He knows where everybody needs to be, who they need to be in contact with. God's gonna work all that out. But the needs that you see is the ones that you need to be involved in. You roll up your sleeves and help. You get in there and be a peacemaker when there's division amongst others. Don't fan the flame of division. Be the person that's gonna bring it together. Amen. That's who you need to be. That's what light looks like. And finally, T, I came my block here. Testify God working in your life. You don't understand. Well, you do, because most of you are here because of that. Someone shared with you what God was doing in their life, and it made you curious, and it made you ask questions, and you finally said, you know what, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life as well. And then you turn around and you share that with others, testifying what God has done in your life is probably one of the most incredible ways to share your light in this dark world.
Yeah.
They need to hear your story. They may act like they don't want to hear it. Hey, you want to come to church? They keep walking. They don't want to make no eye contact. They're all in their books. They don't want to pay attention to you. But I promise you, they need to hear how God is changing and affecting your life. Because I promise you, for every no that you hear, there's 100 yes. They're just out there. They don't have the courage to ask. They don't have the courage to seek. Look at me. I had no desire to know God. Here I am. So do not devalue the power of sharing your faith, sharing what God has done in your life,
right,
sharing the victories,
amen,
and the struggles.
Right.
People don't want to see fake Christians that's always happy. They want to see Christians, man, they're struggling, but how are they responding to their struggles?
Yeah, right.
You don't understand how powerful it is when you are in the midst of your storm and you're sharing it with someone who's not a Christian, and they're watching how you respond to your storm. And that is where they get their faith from.
Yeah.
Because they go, wow, if you are dealing with all this in your life and you're still holding on to your faith, where do your church meet at on Sunday?
All right, there you go.
Where do they meet? I want to meet this Rob guy you keep talking about. You know, like that. I'm telling the truth. I mean, you guys know this. I'm not saying something that's brand new to you.
Yeah.
I know some of you understand what I'm saying, the power of sharing the storms,
yeah,
right? That is also a testimony that people would need to hear.
Yeah.
That's it. You want to hear it?
Oh,
okay. So, as we wrap it up, as we close it out, Shayla and I both spent time emphasizing the importance of being salt and light of this earth. And I told you when we started that some of you guys are coming in from different situations. Some of you already are disciples, and some of you are not. For just this moment, I simply want to talk to those who have not yet made the decision, right? And I just want to ask you, for you to ask yourself this question. What is it do I need from this world?
Yeah, come on.
What is it do I need from this world? After you contemplate that, I want you to ask yourself this next question. What does God has to offer me? If you're willing to know what God has to offer you, you reach out to those who invited you out. Sit down with them and let them share with you what God has to offer you. And then you make the decision. What the world is offering me, or do I want to be salt and light? It's your choice. You decide for yourself. Because remember, I started this, Jesus wasn't talking to everybody, he was talking to his disciples, but some of them weren't Christians. They were kind of like, you know, outside the cave listening. They were kind of like, what's going on in there? So they heard the word. But now they had to make some decisions, now that they heard it. Now that you've heard the word, you have to make a decision on what you're going to do with it. So my encouragement to you, if you are a disciple, live this life. Stay faithful. Stay grounded. Know that you are salt and light of this world.
Amen. Let's go.